number? Do you watch over us? Do you keep us? Do you embolden us and strengthen us and comfort us, that you would make us wiser? That you would show us, Lord, that and demonstrate to us that your word is not just something for a feel-good for an hour or two on a Sunday afternoon, but it is so very importantly applicable every day of our lives. Thank you for being there for us, Lord, and I pray you please that even as the world and the flesh tries to come in like a flood, that we would look to you, Lord. We know that you have raised up a standard, but that we would look to that. Bless our time in your presence and the singing of our praises, Lord, not just for ourselves, but because we want to sing them and we enjoy the music and the words and just taking part in it. Please be with our brothers and sisters across the world that are starting and finishing or even halfway through. Please, Lord, I pray for blessings and helps, especially in these dark days. I pray very specially for Ed Gossett, Lord, and Cindy Capilano as they contend with cancer. And Mrs. Dearkin, Lord, who's contending with so much sepsis and COVID and pneumonia, and has lost a couple of legs, Lord, and are already doing terrible surgeries now. Please, Lord, I pray for your hand upon it, for your comfort and peace for it. And Lord, if it would be your will, that you would heal it. Lord, we really do need you. And I pray, Lord, that you would fight for us. We know you're still here, because we are. And I pray, Lord, please, that you continue to use us. Thank you for loving us and saving us. Lord, don't be done with us, I pray. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Faith is the victory. 4:10. We remain seated as we sing. Let's make a joyful noise. Even if you can't sing, make a joyful noise.
Come to
hop, skip, and jump over to number 10 in the Wee Black Book. Number 10 it was, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah.
Number 10, thine be the glory. Your fit will stand, if you're not, by all means remain seated. But again, let's make it.
He shall not give back Jeff, and to Dibon, type places to weep. Rome shall howl over Nebo, and over me, Diba. On all their heads shall be baldness, and every beard cut off. In the streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth, on the tops of the houses, and in the streets everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. And the Heshbon shall cry, and the Leah, their voice shall be heard, even to Jehaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry, his life shall be grievous unto him. My heart shall cry out for Moab, because Jesus shall flee unto Zoar, and Heifer of 3 years old, For by the mounting up of the heath of weeping shall they go it up from the way of Horonanim. They shall rise up a cry of destruction. For the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate, for the hay is withered, and the grass faileth, there is no green thing. Therefore, the abundance they have gotten, and that which they have laid up, shall they carry away to the brook of the wilderness, or the willows, the brook of the willows. For the cry is gone round about the borders of Joab and Moab, howling thereof unto Eglaim, and the howling thereof unto Beer Elim. For the waters of Dimon shall be full of blood, for I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon them that escape Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. Amen.
Thank you, Will.
Definitely didn't want to be Moab or Moabite back in Old Testament times. The Lord didn't have anything good to say about them or do to them. Just want to remind you to make sure you have one of those wee prayer lists. We have a couple of extra additions to it. Please pray for Christine and her sciatica. A reminder to pray and have good thoughts towards Israel. The Lord will bless you if you bless them, but he'll also curse you if you curse them. Want to draw to your attention the fact that the telegraph pole came down in the bad weather. I think it actually broke the whole way down, and there was about a 4-foot wedge of it must have been sticking out, which was then cut off. The telephone people, Openreach, know about it and are coming, I think, this Tuesday. Did they say this Tuesday? Sometime this week to replace the pole and to lift the cable off the roof. So we're glad that there was no damage as such done, but please do pray about that. Please also, I don't know if you've looked around the back, the fence is down there, so that'll be a couple of days of work putting that back up, not that one, but putting the fence back up again. Please do pray about that as well. And that is all the additions I have for our prayer list. If you have any more, does anybody have anything we need to add to that from this morning? No? Okay. Just pray for everybody that isn't here, and we will just keep going. Let's sing another song. Amen. I think I had a request for hymn number 252 in the big books. 252, this is one of Monica's picks. I am sure it's good. I can't quite remember the tune. Do we want to play a verse?
We sang it last week.
Did we? Well, then it'll come to me in just a second. Verses 3. Oh, dear. Well, remain seated as we sing. 252, Whiter Than Snow. Playing a wee bit of an intro.
Every eye of has I been raised.
actually reminds me of a verse in the very first chapter of Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 1:18, where the Lord says, "Come, let us reason together, and though your sins be like scarlet, I'll make them like snow, though they be red like crimson, I'll make them whiter than snow." What was the first one? Wool, that was it. I'll make them like wool. There you go. But, yeah. All right, I think I have another book. Number two. Number two in the big book. Number two. That's our last pick of the evening, except for mine. Glory to his name. If you're fit, let's stand. Make a joyful noise. Forgive me if my voice is starting to go a little bit, but I'll do my best to hang in there for you. And number two, glory to his name. Verse number one, And we're going to read maybe a dozen or so verses of this portion of God's Word. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse number 1. Everybody good to go? Amen. The Word of God says, and if your Bible's a red letter, this, and you might notice that all of one or two pages before this and a few pages after it are all in red, these are the quoted words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive men. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. That is our Bible reading. I want to take, there's a few verses there that I'd like to take as our text for this evening. Verses 5, 6, 7. Well, just take it all from verses 5 to the end. And we're going to ask, or we're going to spend a few minutes this evening on the subject of why does God allow? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Well, if you would, brother, would you lead us, please?
Father, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for my safety to create your house, Lord. We offer a number, Lord, as a blessing may be our prayers about you. Be more earnest and steadfast, Lord. Direct our minds and our souls towards thee in thy spirit, Lord, and through the Lord Jesus Christ as well, Lord. We have asked for prayer, Lord, wherever we may be. Also remember our own words, say that please help, Lord. Also for Stephen Pat, Lord, give Stephen the assets to him, mighty and powerful as well, Lord. Also with Frank, keep Stephen well, Frank's game, Lord, protect him, and bring him back to the UK, Lord, beautiful as well, Lord, direct his past as well, up to thee as well, Lord. With Brian and Dr. Shank, keep Stephen well, Lord. Also with Stephen well, John, Lord, bless him, keep Lord. And Lord, also with John Bradfield, Lord, keep Stephen well, Lord. Also with all the people that are in the church tonight, we offer number, Lord, direct our past up to thee, Lord, and may we earnestly inquire about thy will, about thy love, Lord, and Lord, direct our past more in line with thee. For the missionaries and the organizations we support, Lord, and with the organizations we support, with these international doors, Christian schools, Christian schools, our citizenship, Lord, the Christian Law Society, Lord, with them also, Lord, fund them perfectly, Lord, and direct them also, Lord, to where they be most useful, Lord, and thy will, Lord. With Marcus from the Lord, the gospel, give the message from above, Lord, and Lord, try to pass more along with you. May save us and fill our honor for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Amen. I am sure everybody here has heard someone at some stage say, whenever there's been a tragedy on the television, why did God allow that drunk driver to kill those people? Other people might say, why does God allow abortion? Or, in fact, why don't we just have a look down at what this Bible says? Because these things are going to happen. Some of them are already in progress. In fact, as we read them, you will see how they are in progress. Why does God allow people to be deceived by the devil and his soldiers? Why does God allow wars and rumors of wars? Why does God allow nation to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom? Why does God allow the awful death toll that famines and diseases bring? Why does God allow the earthquakes all over the place? Why does God allow his people to be delivered up and afflicted and even killed? Why does God allow people to turn on one another and false prophets to arise? Why does God allow Christians to get cold? Why does God allow that? Well, I'm going to have a look at a few of these things. Why does God allow thefts and murders and all the immorality that's going on? That's, I hope by the end of the meeting, if you don't know the answer already, I hope this will be a help to you. And if you do know the answer, I hope this is confirmation or an encouragement to you. Because they will say God is so powerful. If we were to go back to the very first verse in the Bible, does everybody know what Genesis 1:1 says? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It wasn't a big bang, it wasn't a big shout, it wasn't a cough or a sneeze. God spoke the whole universe into being. That actually is one word. Uni is one verse word. God spoke the universe into being. And then he gives us the breakdown of the 6 days of the creation of everything, including us. He's so powerful. He created everything from nothing. He called living creatures up out of the dust. That's you and me. You know, if you ever stand at a funeral and they say ashes to ashes and dust to dust, it's talking about us. Commanded the water to stand still underneath him whilst he walked on it and Peter walked on it. He commanded the fish to hop into the nets. Commanded the donkey to speak, Balaam's ass, if you remember. He has commanded, I think there was a couple of she-bears killed 42 children whenever they were taking a hand out of Elisha. He knows every one of her thoughts, and he tells us, I just want to confirm that to you because we referred back to it earlier on. I think it's in Matthew 4. No, Matthew 5. In Matthew chapter 5, he knows, he's just demonstrating to us that he knows every one of our thoughts, and he knows every one of our words. The Bible says we will give an account of every word, and he knows all of the things that we've done. In fact, they're public record somewhere, especially in this video society. The Bible even says he knows the number of hairs that we have on our head. Surely he could make people behave. And he could. He could literally have, does the Bible not say in eternity, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That does not sound to me like something a lot of people are going to jump up and down with and say, this is great. Jesus is God Almighty. Jesus is Lord. Maybe a few million people will do that. There won't be billions of people doing that. But on top of all that he has done, on top of calling us up out of the ground, on top of all of the animals, on top of the hydrologic cycle, you know, where it talks about the rain falling and no one knows where it goes to, but the waters keep coming out of the ground. On top of the circuits of the winds and the paths of the seas, on top of all of that, he gave us the most dangerous thing in the world to each one of us. He gave us a free will. And he leaves it in our hands to do with it as we will. Whether good or bad, that's entirely up to us. Now, as we look through this, it talks about people being deceived. It talks about false Christs and false prophets. And it talks about Christians losing their desire to serve God. So we know that people are teaching a lot of stuff out there that is not biblical, that is harmful to people. There's plenty of ideas on how we should all spend our time and money. Go on to YouTube, I guarantee you in 5 minutes you could find 10 different things to do with all of your free time and people be completely invested in it. There's plenty of meetings you could go to, plenty of books you can pick up, plenty of stuff that you can find to believe. Before I got saved, I believe we were planted here by aliens who just happened to be passing by. And there are people that teach that and believe that. I think it's either the Church of Scientology or one of those out there beliefs. They teach that we are all fallen aliens and we just have to, through spiritual exercises, build ourselves up to the point where we remember our power and who we are. I think that's the stuff of Elton John. Tom Cruise and John Travolta believe in. I think it's the Scientologists. It's one of those out there. There's plenty of ideas. But there's also the Word of God. The inspired and preserved words of God Almighty, not for him, but for us, in the most popular and at the same time most hated book in the world. Most popular amongst Joe Public and most hated by those that want to control Joe Public. It's interesting to note. The number of times that we have been out and about, and we have been informed by the people, the older people, I wish more, it's nice to be called young, but I wish more young people like you would go out and put leaflets around and tell people about Jesus. If I could only find that wee woman, I would go and knock on her door once a week just to feel good. More young people. Bible gives God's opinions. What God thinks. It gives us commandments. The things that help us live peaceably together and pleasing him, God's laws. It even gives God's promises to you and me. One of which used to be, again, stuck up in the men's bathrooms. They that wait in the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. They'll walk and not be weary, run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Or the other way around. But that's a promise from God, if you do things God's way. But God promises to comfort you. And God promises to assure you of heaven, regardless of what's going on in the world. And just to confirm that the Word of God was created by the God that created time, it's full of prophecy, impossible prophecy. Like everybody being able to see the image of the beast being given life. And how long have we been watching images being given life? Me personally, at least 40 years on a computer screen and my whole life on a TV screen. And how many years before that? It's the only book that gives a set of rules for life that gives everybody a fair shake. Everybody. We were reading, Will was reading in Isaiah 15 about the Moabites. And it just wouldn't be worth your while identifying with the Moabites. God hated them for what they did, for where they came from. There was so much hard times coming their way, it wouldn't pay to be a Moabite. And yet, no, God welcomed into the lineage of King David, the great, and so on, grandfather of Jesus Christ, Ruth the Moabitess. Gives everybody a fair shake, the Bible does. Even those that hate God, God says, tell them the gospel, and if they don't listen, go on, that's fine. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, tell them the gospel, and if they don't, take a knife to them and cut their throats. It doesn't say that. Now, it says that in Islam. It says that in communism, socialism. Capitalism's not quite the same. But all the other religions in the world, they have no problem hopping onto boats with horses and raging across the Middle East and killing everybody that doesn't agree with them. You're talking about the Catholic Church and the Great Crusades. And the Protestant Church, it persecuted the life out of the Catholic Church in England, and then likewise whenever a Catholic king or queen came onto the throne, they did the same to the Protestants and the Christians. Christians are always stuck in the middle. The Bible, the book, the Word of God, the King James Bible, is the only book, the only religion, a pure and undefiled religion, that gives everybody a fair shake. It just says, look, you choose. If you choose not to go there, that's fine. That's entirely up to you. It is your free will. But if you do choose to go here, here's a bunch of stuff I'm going to do for you. As my adopted son, I'm going to love you and I'm going to provide for you. Using that free will And that's one of those things. Even as I was sitting here, I was thinking of bringing the shotgun into church, completely unloaded, so I could just see something happening and a hole appearing and destroying all our good painting work. Saying, there's a gun that fires 7 or 8 22 caliber ball bearings. It will tear a hole in a person the size of your fist, and it'll kill you stone dead if it hits you, but it will never do a thing sitting there. It is only someone exercising their free will with malicious intent that will cause any harm to anybody. Same with a knife, same with a car, same with anything that you can lay your hands on, and even your hands. It's your free will that is the most dangerous thing. It is the free will of some fool that has his finger on the button that launches the atomic bomb. It's free will. Even the most trained soldier still has free will. And using that free will, we are free to choose to obey God, the word of God, or reject it and try something else. We are free to do that. You're free to turn up at church. It's your decision. God wants you there, which should be enough to sway your decision to do the right thing. But it's your decision. And as your life goes on, you have every day the choice to make to obey God. I have the same. That's why it's a good thing to have good habits. Get up, read your Bible, say your prayers, go for a walk if you have the time. Get ready for work, do your work, come home. Whatever it is, have good habits in place, godly habits. You and I have the free will to read and study the Bible. And when I say study, and I mean God. I don't seem to be getting anywhere with this verse of Scripture. Can you possibly tell me what it is? And then, as you read, making notes in your head, then that's it. Eventually, the Lord will give you the answer. You have free will to do that. You have free will as to whether you put money in the plate or not, whether you give a tithe or give an offering. You have free will, even though God has... The verses that Norman was reading in Malachi talked about people robbing God by not tithing. You have free will to obey or disobey God in your finance, in your prayer time, in your Bible reading time, in your faithfulness and coming to church. It's free will. You have free will, even though the Lord said his parting words were, go ye forth into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You have free will to do that. Or not, as the case may be. You're free will to sing. Even if you're not a good singer, you can still make a noise that reflects the joy in your heart that you're saved and going to heaven, and you're going to hear a sermon from me. You can be joyful about that. Or not, as the case may be. You can smile about it. You can do that. You have free will to tell other people about Jesus. You do. You have free will to trust in the Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, as your full and complete Savior, repenting of your sins. That is entirely up to you. And for all the things that the Bible says, we get to choose. Now the question at the beginning was, why does God allow all of those things? And we're getting there. We get to choose, in full knowledge of all of that, at least if you're here for any length of time, whether to go to pubs, whether to take drugs, whether to engage in casual physical relationships just when you feel like it. Whether to lie or cheat, to steal. And a lot of people will say, but I'm only hurting myself. After you go to the pub and you decide to drive home drunk because you're feeling really good about yourself and you couldn't possibly have slower reflexes, it is your free will to take that car and not in full control of yourself to drive it in such a manner that you hurt or kill someone. That is why you go to jail and the car goes to the scrap yard. The car doesn't go to jail, you do. Same thing for murderers. Guns don't go to jail, the people that pull the triggers go to jail. The knife doesn't go to jail, the person that wielded the knife goes to jail. It's not God's fault. He gave you free will. There is not one person for the past 2,000 years is going to have an excuse for not knowing there's a God and not finding out something about it. Not one person. The Bible has been available for mankind for 2,000 years in its entirety. Whose fault is it going to be when someone goes to hell? I know I've used the example before. I will be using it in 10, 20 years if the Lord wills that I'm still alive and kicking. But there was a village that, was it Adina heard of about that? The man who was in a village and they were forever having to leave offerings out to appease these evil spirits that seemed to frequent this village. And one day, one of the villagers, thinking, remember we said about reasoning together in Isaiah 1, come let us reason together. If there are evil spirits, surely there must be good spirits. And he prayed to that good spirit that someone would come along and tell him. Tell him about that good spirit. And shortly afterwards, a missionary came. I think a lot of people get saved in the village. Whenever somebody goes and has a termination, or in quotes, a procedure to get rid of a fetus, which is, someone said, Latin for unborn child, that person is marked as a murderer. That was their free will. They're not wanting to be bothered to bear the full consequences of their actions in a casual physical relationship and not bringing a child into the world in the sanctity and security of two people that love each other and in front of God and in front of man and in the eyes of the government bind themselves to each other. That's free will. God never forced a person to pour a ton of drink down their neck and hop into a bed with someone. In fact, God quite explicitly says you shouldn't do it. And that's not just limited to young people, and that's not limited to the prostitutes or the people that live under the bridge and survive an antifreeze. You look at our governments, for instance. They're up to their neck in all sorts of filth and sin. And if anybody had the free will to do anything they'd like and make the world better, they would be the ones perfectly placed to do that. But what way does the heart lead? Whenever it's not led by Christ, what way does the heart lean, sir? It leans towards wickedness. It leans towards deceit and lust and sin. And that is why there's so much bother in the world. Because the guys with their fingers on their button, the guys with the red telephone in their hand, are as wicked and lost and as big a Christ rejecter as you can possibly get, because they chose to reject God. Now, one of the portions of God's word, not too far away from where Will was reading this evening, I think it's Isaiah 14, where it talks about all of the great men, the kings, the leaders of kingdoms, saying to the devil, art thou become as we are? The Bible actually talks about kings and leaders and princes and governors being in hell in the Old Testament, just looking at the devil. He's exactly where they are. Not because God hates them, because they hate God. Because they exercise their free will and they enjoy feeling power over their neighbors or having their lust slaked upon a slave girl or a slave. And they chose, instead of catching a grip of themselves and taking control of their own lives, they chose to indulge every stupid thought that crossed their heads. We live in these days. Honestly, I can't think of one world leader that I would trust to feed my cat right now. Honestly, my cats could look after themselves for days. I wouldn't trust them. There's a few that are starting to appear, some very conservative men, but they're not in any position to really do anything, except maybe affect a few small changes in their own companies, on their own. The wars and rumors of wars, they're not caused by people following God. They're caused by people rejecting God and thinking, I want that. That's breaking one of the commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox or his ass or his wife or his manservant or maidservant. And you shouldn't covet his company either. We're looking at pestilences. Friends, we live in a world that is just staggering to its feet, trying to recover from one of the biggest manufactured pestilences that ever graced the face of this world, after AIDS. COVID-19. A flu, and a bad flu, but that's all it ever was. That wasn't because God's in control of the world, that's because men exercised their free will in rebellion against God's word. Psalm 2 that says that why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They said they will cast God's bands off of them. In fact, you know what? Let's read it and get it right instead of having me doing time in a butcher shop tearing it apart. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel. Does that not sound like the UN and various other government, intergovernmental organizations? Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, we're not going to do anything about Christians, which also, not only are we not going to do anything Christian, we're going to make sure we don't even be reminded about them. And so, they have many false Christs coming in. And not only that, but false prophets arising, and Christians shall be delivered up, afflicted, killed, and hated. Because Christianity does what? Christianity reminds souls that they're sinners. If you stand up and say you're a Christian, another Christian will clap for you. Good for you. I even remember knocking on the doors down just around the corner from the Danske Bank there, as you go up to Godman's Scale. We were working on one of the housing areas on the left, I think it was the last on the left. We knocked on the door, and there was a wee woman who said, how you doing? We're Christians, we're from Bethel Baptist Church, and we're just out giving out leaflets and talking to people about the Lord, reminding them of sin and judgment to come. She says, you're doing a great job. I am a backslider. You keep going. I have stepped away. Even a backslider was able to recognize somebody doing the Lord's work and wanted to go on, knowing it was best for them. Friends, this is the world that we are in. This is the world that has given us the wars and rumors of war. In fact, in Revelation 18, look at the last verse in Revelation 18, and it talks about false religion. Not pure religion and undefiled of the word of God, but false religion. In her was found all the blood of all the slain in the earth. False religion, believing wrongly, has caused the death, the murder, the unjust death of all the people that have ever been killed in this world. Believing in a wrong thing, that is worth remembering. Where are we? Just take a look at what's going on around the world. We were to look at these verses and read on in Matthew 24. You will see if Jesus didn't come back 7 years after he took everybody off the world, there'd be no flesh saved. It's not God's will that we have tons and tons of bioweapons and chemical weapons and nerve agents and atomic weapons. Because it's not like we're shooting asteroids out of the sky, and it's not like we're defending ourselves from a terrible plague of aliens that are going to take us over, and we need these nerve weapons to kill them all. Those are for killing ourselves. That is the very best we can do, is literally kill ourselves at the height of our technology. We can kill everybody in the world 10 times. And that's supposed to be something to be proud of. That's not done by Christians. That's not done by people obeying God. That's done by people that have a taste for blood in their mouth. You even look at the decay of the family. The fear of everything that there is out there. You know what the Bible says? God didn't give us the spirit of fear. What did he give us? Power, love, and a sound mind, the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry unto God, Abba Father. All of these things, even now, you might, when I say the word famine, everybody thinks of where? Africa. And the locusts planting on the fields and the trees and eating every single green thing that there is, and even attacking some of the animals as well. That's what we think of. But there's a famine in this country too. If there wasn't a famine, the price of food wouldn't be going up through the roof. And that's not caused by Christians. That was caused by profiteers during COVID stealing yours and my money and the government taxes. These come from mankind exercising a free will without the temperance and the teachings of God. God also reminds us of a heaven in this book, a place where he lives and wants us to live too. However, God's book also says, in order to get there, you have to be different to what you are here. You have to be a new creature. You have to be born again. You have to go and see him face to face, just like a man would, just like an adult would, and tell him you're sorry for being a sinner, and ask him to save your soul. You've got to mean it. Your soul will be saved. And correct use of this free will has brought about the deaths of millions, and will continue to do so until folks find out how to use it properly. There's only one place where it gives you instructions, and that's the Bible. Continually, it says, catch a grip of yourself. Bring myself under subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. In other words, I'm not just telling you this is what you need to do, I actually have to exercise it in my own life. The only place where it warns you time after time that not to kill, not to steal, not to lie, not to cheat. It's all very, it seems to be all very well in the short term whenever you do that, but when you get the knock on the door and there's a couple of big lads there with hats on and riot gear, you know your pigeons have come home to roost. We are supposed to exercise restraint. In fact, our verses this morning told us to exercise moderation in all things, in everything. We need to control ourselves. These hands that people have that can take and stitch together a severed limb have also been used to stab people through the heart. The hands that can take and use a gun to feed a family for 6 months have also killed someone for the few pounds that they have in their pockets. And the difference is the proper exercise and the proper use of free will. Now, it is easy to get saved. And it is easy to go to heaven. And God has done everything he can to get us to heaven. But those that refuse are going to go to hell. And they're going to go to hell. Not, and God's not going to be saying, ha ha, I got you at last. I won't teach you for it. It doesn't do that. The Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. And he says, so turn yourself. Change your direction. But for those that refuse, I just had a quick thought and made a quick list of all the things that they turn their nose up before they end in hell. They turn their nose up at the Holy Spirit. Norman read in Malachi this morning. I think it's in one of the other chapters of Malachi. Is it Malachi? Where it talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out in all flesh. We spoke about that not that long ago. The Holy Spirit is poured out on the Christ rejecter and convicts him of sin and judgment to come. The Holy Spirit is poured out and remains upon the soul that accepts him as Savior. So when someone constantly says no, you know what the Bible does? You know what God does? Have at it. I'm going to give you over to the reprobate mind. Just do whatever you like. So if you go to hell, you go to hell over the top of the Holy Spirit. If you go to hell, you go to hell over the top of creation.
In Romans 1, the very same chapter where it mentions about the reprobate mind, it says that creation preaches a gospel message. There is a God. Look around you. I think one of the best examples of that is the termites. I don't know if you've ever come across termites. We don't have them in this country, but they eat wood. You know what the surprising thing about wood is? Termites can't digest wood. They can't. So there is a little creature that lives in their stomach that can. That can turn the cellulose, which is undigestible to termites, into some other sugar that they can use. I would love to know that bugs can't live in anything but termites, and termites can't live without the bugs. So how did they come to the point where they got together? Someone tell me. It can't have happened. Anyway, creation preaches that there is a God that made things exactly the way they are, and it's been going downhill ever since. So anybody that goes to hell over the gospel message that creation preaches. Anybody that goes to hell, or that ends up there, goes there over the top of missionary preaching, of evangelists preaching, of someone standing in the corner of a car park like a fool with a megaphone preaching, of someone putting a gospel tract through their door telling them about God, of a pastor standing at the front of the church, of a conversation about God over a tea table. Even the very presence of the Bible, that all they had to do was pick it up. I don't know. Did everybody here get a Gideon's Bible when they were at school? Do you ever get one? I got a Gideon's Bible. Did you get one? Mm-hmm. Do you get a Gideon's Bible when you were at school, John?
Yeah, we read one.
Why, we read one. You did get one. All those Christian schools, you got to watch out for them. Every child in Northern Ireland, and probably in England, and if Norman got one in the south as well.
They did do it in America.
I remember the Gideon's doing the rounds in the churches. I'm only pulling your leg. The Gideon's Bible. I remember giving my Gideon's Bible to someone at a door in Craigan Heights. Or not God in the scale, across the town, Chantallow. I remember giving them a Bible. When the schools have already given them a Bible. There's no excuse for ignoring the Bible. That is on you. If you don't go to heaven, if you end up in hell, you go over the top of the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ. There's so much over the coincidences and the personal testimony and witnesses of other Christians. But there are people that won't accept Christ, that refuse, because it's going to cramp their lives. Because, as one wee man said to me in Lincoln Courts, if I get saved, I'll have to stop drinking. Can you imagine that wee man opening his eyes in hell and God shouting down at him and saying, well, is it worth a drink now? Or can you imagine him looking up and saying, I'll quit drink now, I'll quit it now, take me to heaven. Well, it's too late. There is a time limited offer in this. It's connected to the number of beats you have left in your heart. So if that soul steps off into a priceless eternity, unsaved, the end of their journey down that broad road, it leads to hell and destruction. It wasn't God that put them there. It was them that put them there. It was their free will. They exercised it as they saw fit and chose not to go to heaven. They chose wrong. That saddens God. But that is our prerogative. We have a free will. All the way through the Old Testament, God warns, get right, get saved. And it's not my plan, it's not my idea. Even 2 Peter 3 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of repentance. But he gives us a free will. And that is why we will suffer for it.
if we exercise them correctly and reject Jesus Christ. And we'll suffer for it in the endless ages of eternity. And we will suffer for it, as I think as Luke says, in a place where the worm, our worm dieth not, and the flames are not quenched forever. God doesn't want it. God has made a big blinking signpost, and blinking as in flashing signpost, not blinking as in a cursed signpost. And he's put so many people that say, you need to go this way, the road's out, you need to go this way. And people say, oh, but everybody on this road's having such a good time, who are they? Blowing their livers out, blowing their brains out, blowing their circulatory systems out, engaging in immorality, sex, and lies, and murders, and thefts, and all of that stuff. Are they really having a good time? Is that what a good time is to you? Wait until you become the object of their good time. It will not be so much fun then, and you'll still die in your sins and go to hell. Most dangerous thing in the world is an incorrectly used free will. And we all have one. If you do it right, choose Christ as your Savior. Tell him you're sorry for your sin. Mean it from the bottom of your heart. It says in Romans chapter 10, when you confess with your lips the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say, and get baptized and put money in the plate and sing like an angel and spend your life in church to be saved. It says, when you admit your wrong and ask Christ to save you, you will be saved. That's it. That's what God wants. That is a correct use of free will that will secure you for eternity. Then there is the ongoing use of your free will that will make something of your life. And in fact, Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite verses. You may have noticed it turns up quite a lot in my sermons because we need to know that everything will work together for good to those that love the Lord and to those that are called according to his purpose. God wants it. We need it. It might seem tough at the time, but we really do. If you were to ask any soldier, just gets off the bus, stands in front of his drill sergeant or whoever it is, I can guarantee you in about 5 minutes those recruits are thinking they have made the worst decision of their lives. I guarantee you. That guy starts spitting and shouting and yelling and kicking and pushing and cursing and swearing. And he says, right, give me 50, trooper, and everybody has to do 50. And some of those guys maybe didn't do any more than lift themselves off the couch for the first 17 years of their lives. And they're dying. Why did they ever sign up for this? And the drill sergeant, there's no mercy, because he knows what it takes to save that soldier's life on the battlefield. And it is not sitting on TV. It is not doing the wrong things. It's doing these things. And God, if you want to put it like that, he knows what it takes to save our souls and to save our lives. And sometimes it doesn't seem like fun, but when you look back, you can say, Dad, you were right. I was wrong. Thank you for persevering with me. That's what God wants the very best of us. So exercise your free will correctly. Biblically, everything will work out for the best. That's why God allows these things to happen, because he will not impinge upon our free will. So use it. Use it. 55 in the wee books. Big books, sorry. 55 is when the roll is called up yonder. If you're fit, let's stand and sing. There we go, 5 past 8. That 5 minutes is starting.
Over on the other shore, and the rolling.
God bless you. Have a good week until next we meet. Don't forget to pray much and read as much as you can about it. What the Bible says to you on that particular day, and I will be thinking about you too. Safe travels home. God bless you. Let's close your eyes. Be dismissed from the word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wee bit of time aside from the world, in your word. Please bless it to us and watch over us. And Lord, please bless and keep Israel. Provision them, protect them, give them portions of wisdom. And Lord, save them from every one of the IDF, from bullets and explosions and booby traps. Please give them the victory in every turn. And I pray, Lord, for all those that love you, that you bless them. For all those that hate you, Lord, that you curse them. And Lord, let people see your will being done. And there's going to come a day, and it will not be for another few years yet, where everything in the world will be done according to your will. But Lord, for right now, give people a choice and the information and the ability to make a good choice. We love you and thank you, Lord. Please bless us as we part from them. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. Let's shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. We are the
same.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you, Will. Let me cross your palm with the electronics.
Full iron.